So Tibetan Buddhism, we see, is a fully developed, a fully articulated, a balanced and a harmonious system or form of Buddhism. There's nothing unbalanced, nothing one-sided in it. And we can also say, I think, that Tibetan Buddhism is the richest form of Buddhism. The richest in the sense that within that harmony, within that synthesis, which is Tibetan Buddhism, it includes the greatest number of diverse elements. In the West, I think, we only have one form of religion which can compare with Tibetan Buddhism in this respect, that it would say, in respect of richness, and I'm only thinking of richness at the moment when I make the comparison, and that is Roman Catholicism. But there are, of course, many and very weighty differences between Tibetan Buddhism on the one hand and Roman Catholicism on the other. They are both very, very rich systems. One a very rich form of Buddhism, the other a very rich form of Christianity, but they do differ considerably in other respects. And one of the respects in which they differ very much is that in the case of Tibetan Buddhism, it is characterized by perfect tolerance. Tolerance is indeed a characteristic of all forms of Buddhism. But one might say, nevertheless, that the temptations to intolerance were greater in the case of Tibetan Buddhism, inasmuch as its internal differences are greater. But Tibetan Buddhism has never yielded to that temptation. The scholar doesn't look down upon the yogin. The yogin doesn't look down upon the scholar. There's no rivalry between the monks and the laity. There's full cooperation between them. There are four schools, all very proud of their own traditions, adhering to them faithfully, but they all display, at least on public occasions, deep mutual courtesy. There are differences, but it never degenerates into criticism. I must say that in all the course of my contact with lamas of all schools, I never heard, say, from a Gelugpa lama, a real criticism of the Gelugpa tradition, nor from a Gelugpa lama, a real criticism of the Nyingmapa tradition. Of course, they are human, and sometimes they have little jokes at one another's expense. But it's all in the friendliest spirit, and that is about as far as it goes. I remember in particular there's the little Gelugpa joke about the Nyingmapa Wong, the Nyingmapa tantric initiation. And the Gelugpa say that the Nyingmapas, of course, have got very, very high, very, very esoteric wonks, such as we Gelugpas don't have. And one of those is a Wong that you can give other people without having practiced it yourself. So, to appreciate the point of this, one has to note something about the Tibetan attitude towards these wongs. Now, the tolerance of the Tibetans extends also to the non-Buddhists. And sometimes Tibetans are very shocked to hear Christian missionaries. They, of course, encounter these for the first time when they come to India, and at first they can hardly believe their ears. I remember one Tibetan Buddhist came running along to me one day and said, "What do you think I heard today?" He said, "I heard someone criticizing religion." And this is the way they look at it. They don't think of a Buddhist criticizing Christianity or a Christian criticizing Buddhism. They think of someone criticizing religion in any form. And this is something which they just don't like and which they never, in fact, do. They certainly are not averse to the expression, the free expression of religious differences. So even in Tibetan Buddhism, the Gelugpas don't see things in quite the same way as the Nyingmapas. There are different traditions of logic. There are different views about the nature of the syllogism, for instance. But differences are always expressed courteously. There's never any abuse. And in this respect, there's another little story comes to my mind, which relates to a young Tibetan who came to see me, straight from the Kalimpong Bazaar, just after all these refugees came into Kalimpong in 1959. And he said to me, "I made a very interesting discovery today, something I didn't know before." So I said, "What was that?" He said, "Well, I've just discovered that communism and Christianity are the same thing." So I said, "Well, how do you make that out?" He said, "Oh, yes. They're just two different names for the same system. In Tibet, we call it communism. Here, you call it Christianity." So I said, well, how do you arrive at that idea? He said, "Oh, yes." He said, "I've just been along to the bazaar." And in Kalimpong, there's a bazaar every Wednesday and every Saturday. Well, the village people come in and they buy and they sell, and you get your vegetables there and all that sort of thing. So he said, I've just been along to the bazaar, and he said, I've heard a Christian missionary preaching. And these good Christian missionaries, and also their local assistants, every bazaar day, they loyally get up on a soapbox, quite literally, and they stand up there and they preach. And their preaching consists in a denunciation of Buddhism and Hinduism. So the young Tibetan refugee said, yes, I heard the Christian missionary, and you know, the things he was saying about Buddhism, just what the Chinese communists say in Lhasa, exactly the same. The same attitude, the same approach. So obviously, the two systems are the same. Communism and Christianity, the same thing. Whereas they both say the same things about Buddhism. So this is the impact on the mind, the simple mind of this newly arrived Tibetan, of Christian missionary propaganda.